common obstacles to sharing your faith is what we want to talk about. We've been talking about being bold in sharing our faith. And I would imagine all of us have some desire to share our faith. Hopefully you do. But you probably also have some barriers, some things that kind of hold you back from doing that. So I want to address some of those. Let's start with this one. What if I don't know enough? I don't want to say the wrong thing, right? I don't want to be caught off guard. I sure don't want to look or feel stupid because I'm trying to say something about God or Jesus and someone asks me a question and I don't know the answer. And so what do? Oftentimes, then we don't say anything. I just won't say anything. I don't feel like I know enough to say something. I don't want to get out here and kind of get myself in trouble. So let me ask you a question. Why are you a Christian? Can you answer that? Why you're a Christian? Why do you believe in God? Why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Why are you here on a cold and rainy October morning? Why are you here? I think we can answer that. What has God done for you? We sang about that. Has God done anything for you? God blessed you in any way? Did Jesus die for your sins? Did God save you? How did you get saved? If you don't remember, come talk to me. We can address that. I mean, you need to be able to remember how you got saved. What did you do? What did you feel? What did you need? What did God do for you? What was it like coming up out of the waters of baptism that first time as a new baby in Christ, completely pure? Do you remember that? We do know enough and what to say to people. If you don't know the answer to someone's question, here's what you do. You say, you know what? First of all, you compliment them. That's a good question. And it is a good question if you don't know the answer. So compliment them. That's a really good question. A, maybe you've never thought about it. Compliment them on that. I've never thought about that. But that's a good question. And then secondly, you say, you know what? I don't know. I don't know. It's okay not to know if you go and find out. And so you say, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm going to check on that. And then what that does is it gives you another, now you have another opportunity. You have made an appointment of sorts that you're going to come back to them later and talk more about God. How great is that? And you're going to go and talk to some of us here. Talk to your shepherds, your ministers. Talk to someone more mature and knowledgeable in Christ. Find the answer and then be excited to go back and reconnect with them. It's okay not to know as long as we keep studying to find out. So don't let that stop you. A few years ago, years and years ago, Stephanie would typically do our grocery shopping. And therefore, a little bit, we tried to grocery shop together. And that was not so great because she's, you know, budget conscious. And she's trying to figure out, well, this was before the tags would tell you price per item. You had to do math. And so she's saying, well, hold on now. Let's see if we do this, I mean, you know, stretching our dollars. And then me, I don't even want to be there. So me, I'm like, let's just, here, what are you doing? This and it? Yeah, this one. Let's go. And so anyway, that didn't go too well. So then we got to a point where she handed off those duties to me and I would do them, and when Abby was younger, being the youngest, she'd be with me. So I'd get her from school on a Friday. We would go to Walmart, and we'd do our shopping. And I'm just in there to get it done. And Abby would see something she wanted, and so being a softie and her being there with me, I mean, we'd get a lot of that too, a lot of stuff we don't need. When you finish going through the groceries at Walmart, and you're at the back where the dairy is, right next to that's the snacks. Right? And they do that on purpose. They know by the time I get there, I'm tired and hungry, and I have no willpower left. All my willpower is gone. And so anyway, we used to do our grocery shopping that way, and then Walmart started this thing where you can order it online on your phone, and you just pull up there, and they'll load it in your trunk. You just pop your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car, which I always did. I just couldn't sit there while, you know, a young lady loads my groceries for me. And I had to get out, at least feel like I was helping. But we did that for a long time. And I would tell people about that. Hey, did you, you know, if they would talk about, I just hate grocery shopping or whatever, I would say, hey, here's how I do it. You know, you might want to do this. And so then Walmart would deliver it to your door. Now we have it delivered to our house, to our doorstep. Now, do you pay more for that? Yes, you do. But I used to pay more when I would go in person and get a bunch of things I didn't need. So I feel like I'm paying them either way. Here's the deal. If you ask me, well, Elliot, what now? Okay, they bring it to your door. All right, now what if like it's something from the produce and it's not good, which talk to Stephanie, she'll tell you don't do that. She gets mad at, anyway, the produce sometimes is not right. I tolerate that because I don't eat produce anyway, but she, you might ask a question and say, well, Elliot, what if you need to return something? What if they delivered something wrong? What if? Those are questions I don't have answers to. I don't know. But I can tell you what I do know. They deliver it to my doorstep, and I love it. Can we tell people what we know in Christ? Can we say, you know what, I don't know about that. I'll check. I can find out. I'll get back to you, but here's what I do know. I know I was lost, and now I'm found, and I know I have hope, and I know I have peace, and I know I have heaven waiting for me. I know that. And that's why I'm a Christian. We need to be able to tell people. So 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Let's pause there a second. Gentleness and respect. Years ago, Christians developed a bad reputation. Because they would tell people, you know you're going to hell, right? In so many words, really those words. And you can kind of change the context of that any different way. But you may have heard of someone who got offended because some Christian told them, maybe truth, if you don't repent, you know you're going to hell. Now that may be a true statement, but they didn't do it with gentleness and respect. And that turns people off for good reason. It's too harsh. You can tell people truth. You can say, I'm concerned about you. You know, I worry about the day we're going to stand before God and give an answer, and then we're going one of two ways. You can tell people the truth with gentleness and respect. We always have to be ready, always prepared to tell people. Are you prepared today? If you have an opportunity, I mean, we need to make opportunities, by the way. We don't need to just live this life, and if someone asks me, I'll tell them. I mean, I tell people about Walmart delivering groceries to my door. I'll tell anybody anytime I can. I love it. Maybe it'll help you. Maybe you'll like it. I don't know. We need to have boldness and being prepared to tell people. And if you're not quite confident in the details of salvation, read Acts chapter 2. If you remember Acts and you remember 2, right? Remember Acts chapter 2. In that chapter, there are people who are lost. They know it. They say they know they're lost. And they're told about Jesus, and they have faith in Jesus, and they ask, what do we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And they do it, and God adds them to the church. That's in Acts chapter 2. One chapter. And then lastly, and it's tricky to say this, but if you don't feel like you know enough, if you don't feel prepared to tell someone about your faith, then get prepared, but don't wait to get prepared to tell someone. Can we do both? Get prepared, but if you wait till you're prepared to tell someone, Satan will drag this out and you'll never tell anyone. So speak now of what you do know and work on what you don't know, because we need to be telling people who are headed toward an eternal darkness, separation from God, suffering, and in a word, that is hell. All right, number two, how about this obstacle? Who am I to tell someone else? Who am I? Because, see, I've got problems, and I have shortcomings, and I have failures, and I have weaknesses, and I have sin, and you're not perfect. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're not perfect. You know that, right? You're not perfect. You can say it kind of like that. You're not perfect. Now, if anybody argues with you, tell me their name later. None of us are perfect. What did Paul call himself regarding a sinner? The chief of sinners. Now, he's talking about his past, but that's also kind of what we're talking about. Paul considered his past and him to be the chief of sinners, and Paul told more people about Christ, I would argue, than I would match him up with anyone. Chief of sinners. If the chief of sinners can talk about Christ, can't you? Barna Research Group, this is barna.org, they recently shared this information. They asked this question. They said, imagine a Christian you would be interested in learning from. Imagine a Christian you would be interested in learning from. Which of the following characteristics would you use to describe them? And people could check all that applied. So this is a non-Christian. What type of Christian would you be interested in learning from? The number one answer was someone who listens without judgment. The lost want to be heard. They want you, that shows you care about them, by the way. They want to be heard. They want you to listen without quick condemnation. We failed in that in the past. We're better now, except we don't say much now. But they want someone who listens without judgment, is honest. The second answer, second most popular answer was, is honest about doubts. They want someone who's not putting on a front of perfection, but who is honest about their own imperfections. They want a Christian to be able to say, you know what, I'm not perfect. That's actually what they want. That's who they'll listen to. Isn't that ironic? Because as Christians, sometimes we don't say anything because we think, well, I don't have it all together, so who am I to say something? And the non-Christian is saying, you're actually the one I'd like to listen to. I'd like to hear from you. Someone who also doesn't have every answer or everything figured out or the perfect life, because no one does. We can't wait and say, well, I'm going to have to get my life right and then I can start talking about Jesus. We need to talk now. And we need to say, you know what, I still struggle. God is still working on me. He's taken me from where I was to where I am, and I'm not satisfied here, but I can tell you about Jesus, and I can tell you who can save you, and I can tell you about a better life. Matthew 9 and verse 37. Then Jesus said to his disciples. Now, the context here is Jesus is going from city to village to village to village. He's preaching, he's healing, he's telling people about the good news of the kingdom of God. And he sees all this crowd. Jesus sees the crowd and he has compassion on them because he knows they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. And then he turns to his disciples and says, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Jesus says, the harvest is ready. He's not just talking about lost people. He's saying lost people that could be saved. Lost people that could be saved. I wonder how many lost people around us and in America, in our cult, in our community, how many lost people are just barely lost? I mean, it won't take much. Just a little effort reaching out to them. Maybe you can think of someone who has been a faithful Christian here, but they've been gone for a while. We don't know why. It may take a very little reaching out to them to encourage them to be back in. Faithful with God's people. It could be somebody who's not a Christian at all. And it may not take much But do we have the laborers? The laborers are few. Why? Because too many of us think someone else should be the one to say something. Sometimes I think about the people, you know, I have kind of people that I'm close to, you have people that you're close to, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family. No doubt you are in the best position to reach somebody. You are in the best position of everyone in this room to reach someone. You're the best God has. And we might look back to God and say, God, there's got to be somebody better. And God says, no, it's you. You're the one. You believe in me, don't you? And God's going to help us. He's not sending us out without his help. The Spirit, God, Jesus, I mean, we have it all. We need to quit doubting. We need to quit looking at our abilities and look at God's abilities, because we doubt us. But it's not us. God's doing some things. God's going to save them. God's already working on them. He just needs a laborer to step out there and say something. If I look back on why I'm a Christian, part of why I'm a Christian is because I grew up in a Christian family and I learned it there. So let's go on my dad's side. Why is my dad a Christian? Dad tells a story about when he was young, their family did not go to church. And my grandpa, dad's dad, believed in God, believed in Jesus. He was a good man. You've heard people say, you know what? I don't go to church because I am a good person. I live a good life, and honestly, I'm better than half the people there. I don't know if that was exactly his attitude, but his perspective was good people go to heaven, and I'm living a good life. Morally good, honest, trustworthy, generous, caring. By the way, both those things are false. There's this common belief in our society that good people, the formula is live a good moral life, believe in God and Jesus, go to heaven. That's the formula. That's not in the Bible. Zach pointed that out already. If we could do it, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. Jesus is the reason. And our goodness, by the way, good compared to what? Well, good compared to some lousy humans, I know. You know? Good compared to them. That's not how it works. And so, people from church asked my dad's family, would y'all come to a gospel meeting? And they went. And they went again, and they went again, and they went again. And then finally, my grandpa said to grandma, I've got to either stop going. He was on the edge. I got to stop going, or I'm going to have to go forward and get baptized because the preacher is talking straight to me. And he did go forward and he did get baptized. And then he committed and led his family to be with the church every time, anytime. If they were having something, they were going to be there. The first Sunday night, grandma turned to grandpa, you know, what are we going to do? He said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it all the way. He became a Christian because someone invited him. He was of the wrong mindset. He didn't understand until he did understand. And my message for you is, how many people do we know who have this false belief that if I'm good, I go to heaven, and they'll get to judgment day and realize that wasn't it because they didn't know because nobody told them. And our job, by the way, is to try to tell them. I'll leave you with this thought. Give people a chance. We need to give people a chance. My problem is I kind of run through, well, they're probably not interested. It's probably not going to work anyway. I have my barriers too, and we're going to address some of those next week. What helps me is Elliot, give them a chance. Let God do what God's going to do and give them a chance so that on judgment day they can't say, you know, I wish somebody would have just asked me. Or invited me, or tried. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And hold on, I've got... During this song, if you have a need, if you're not a Christian, if you've never had your sins washed away in baptism, this is a great time to do that. A great time. But I want to remind you to leave here knowing that every one of, if you're a Christian, you're a soldier of God, and God has given you a message, and there are people God is trying to reach. He needs laborers. He needs people to step out in faith and just say something about God or Jesus. We have three events coming up that are really natural and easy to invite someone to. One is Trunk or Treat Tuesday. The next one is next Sunday night, 5 p.m. We've invited congregations from Tulsa. Hopefully we're going to fill up this room and have a worship night, and it will be wonderful. And then the third one is on the 12th of November, we're going to have a Friends and Family Day. Those are really easy ways to invite someone. Think of someone. Who can you invite? Ask them to come. If you have a need while we're singing this song, please come while we stand and sing.
Why did my Savior come?